Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're in part 154, 154 of How to Have God's Life Living in You, and this is program number 256, 256, and you can have your pen and paper or pencil and paper ready, because at the end of the program, Sharon will tell you four different ways on how you can receive a copy of this tape or CD. It's absolutely free. Shipping and handling is also free. Right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord to ask the Lord to anoint this service. Father, thank you and praise you, Lord, for my testimony. Thank you and praise you, Lord, for giving me the ability through your power in me to be able to withstand all the different things that I've had to go through for your glory. Because people know that they haven't seen such a thing as this before in these last days of somebody that's been put through all the things that I've been put through because of the things that you've told me to do. And still remain on the front lines, on fire for you. Lord, anoint me outwardly. Let your spirit take over my tongue so that the things that are said will cause people out in the world to be saved, and also the church to be strengthened, and also anoint all the different people that will be partaking in this program, Lord. Anoint them so that everything they read or say, that the testimonials will be anointed by your Spirit, Lord, that souls will be saved and the church strengthened. In Jesus' name I pray, and we all pray. And everyone says, Amen.
Amen.
All right, now here's the Tony and Susan Alamo Christian Church Orchestra to play for you, King of Kings. praise the Lord. That was the Tony and Susan Alamo Christian Church Orchestra, and we are also selected, our orchestra, to be the background music with our choir in a movie called, a Warner Brothers movie called Journey Through the Past. That happened Wally Hyder and his whole crew came out with Warner Brothers and did it at right at our church in Los Angeles, which is still winning souls hand over fist, 1313 Sierra Highway, Saugus, California. We have 8 services a week. That's 1 every evening at 8 o'clock. And on Sunday, we have 3 o'clock in the afternoon services and 8 o'clock in the evening. And everyone's invited. If you're hungry, bring your appetite as well. If you're hungry for the Word of God and hungry just for your natural body. Okay, we have some testimonials here. There's a young man that was a professional witness for me in the court case that they had so many witnesses come in and say I kept double books and all that. And everybody knew I was 100% innocent. But with as many witnesses that stood up against me, former backsliders in the church. And what they did is this man was the comptroller for Shell Oil. And he proved without a doubt that I was absolutely innocent if we were not tax exempt. Because first of all, we were tax exempt. And then secondly, if we weren't tax exempt, he showed the jury and all the people in the courtroom that I wouldn't have had to pay taxes at all. Because everything that was spent was for the gospel and to support so many hundreds of people that we had at that time, plus thousands of people throughout the world, there's no way that we could have owed taxes. But I pay taxes today. I mean, they make me beyond salary, the government. Especially, you know, government's not supposed to interfere with churches, and we're not supposed to interfere with good government. But if, you know, the Bible tells us that the government, how the structure of the government would be in the last days, that it would be run by Rome, and that we'd have a one-world government. And finally, after all these years of my preaching about it and teaching about it, the world seems to be catching on at this late, late date. And but at any rate, we have some testimonies today. There's a letter here from Jim Webb, who was the comptroller of the Shell Oil Company. He himself is now in prison, I suspect primarily because he was defending me and proved without a doubt that I was absolutely innocent. And he says that he sent me a letter, and I got it this morning. And I'd like you to just... I don't like to hide anything. I'd like you to hear the letter. All right, so Lydia, go ahead and read it.
Hi, Tony. I am glad to know you're busy in the Word of God all over the world. I wouldn't spend too much time dealing with false accusations, for it is written, "For nothing is hidden that shall not become known and come to light." I realize you know this already. I just wanted you to know that I know.
Right. There isn't anything I'm doing that the Lord didn't tell me to do, and I just pray that God will bring it to light very soon. And then go ahead.
Everything is very good with me, and I am glad to know that you're doing great. Because your previous letter was so short, I thought maybe you were concerned about my intentions. I just wanted to make sure we were on the same page. Words have many definitions, implications, and meanings. Now that we have clarified our intents, we have an open, clear, and honest line of communication. I receive letters from my family all the time telling me that they consider me to be a hero. No, I am not guilty of the crime the government accused me of, and they know that. The government also knows, based on my files, I can't prove my innocence. I got lazy, Tony. I was also overwhelmed by the volume of paper. In any event, I didn't protect myself, CYA, or my clients. Rather than implicate my clients and my family, I decided to do the time. I am a loner, Tony, and until now, I've never been surrounded by a lot of people on a daily basis. At first, I was very paranoid. Now I am relaxed. Yes, I feel I am being deprived from spending valuable time with my mom, but they could have tried to indict my mom, her sister, my three sisters, my mom's brother, and several other friends who worked under my supervision.
Yeah, that's what the government does. They always say, we're going to bring in a string of liars, and we're going to bring in your family, and we're going to subject them to grueling questions that maybe they don't know anything about anyway. And that's why a lot of people like Jim Webb, the comptroller for Shell, backed off. This is what he's saying. Okay, he didn't want his mother to be put through such a thing or any of the rest of his family. Then what?
And they didn't do that because I didn't fight. For me, that was a fair exchange for my negligence. Yes, they still owe me, but I am going to make the best of it. Well, two jealous, lying, greedy women started the investigation against my company. Tony, I never thought you were guilty of federal income tax evasion, and I think I did an excellent job of proving your innocence.
Mm-hmm. You sure did, Jim. But it didn't make any difference. They pulled all those liars in. You can lock against a thief. You can lock your doors to a thief. But what can you do about liars? It's just, there's nothing you can do. You can't lock against them. They just are on the streets. Instead of attacking those that are destroying the world and the people of the world, they attack people that are winning souls. That must really, I'd hate to be in their shoes at the judgment bar of God. Then what?
If I commented on anything else, I was wrong. If I made that loose statement, obviously Tony Alamo is guilty because the jury voted him guilty.
Yeah, there was, at the end of the trial, there was like, they asked Jim Webb if he had had a final summarization of what happened after they stated I was guilty. And he says, well, you know, I guess Tony Alamo is guilty because the jury said he's guilty. But he proved that I was not guilty. But I just, when I wrote him the first letter, I says, I really am uptight for you saying that, Jim, even after I was told that I was guilty. But no, he just says, I'm sorry for making that loose statement. And so, I forgive you, Jim. Then what else?
I apologize. Frankly, this prison is all new to me, and I think experiencing it one time is enough for me. Tony, I never doubted your innocence. I underestimated the wickedness of the U.S. government. I just discovered that under the 13th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, I am now a legal slave. I should say we are legal slaves. I read all the pamphlets you sent me, and I find all of them to be very believable. I underestimated these guys, the U.S. government, once. I will never underestimate them again. I like the idea of us working together in the future or even currently. Since I've been incarcerated, I have read numerous books related to the history of the Bible, the history of Christianity, the history of Judaism, and the history of Islam. I must say the Bible has been manipulated by many men with evil intent. However, as a result of my research, Yeshua, Jesus, is now and forever my hero. When I started my research, I expected to abandon the Bible altogether. Isn't that ironic? Their error improved, solidified my faith. I look forward to seeing you and sitting down for a long talk. I think it will be time well spent. Your friend, Jim. P.S. Good luck with your voting case.
With my voting case. It's in the newspaper. The people were saying I didn't have a right to vote because I was in prison, but I paid my debt to, quote, society, unquote, and I paid a $230,000 fine or thereabout, and I haven't been in prison before that or after that in my life. Been out over 8 years now. And as the professional auditor, comptroller, he checked everything that I had done, and he said, you're innocent for sure. And he proved it. But the jury didn't buy it because of slander. So, you know, I count it all joy. The Bible says so. And it just shows that vain is the trust in man. Because Jim did his best, but it didn't do any good. Because it is God that shall tread down our enemies. That's the 108th Psalm, the last two verses. Vain is the help of man, because it is our God that treadeth down our enemies. Praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Okay, you have another letter here?
Yes. To Pastor Tony Alamo, Dear Sir, I heard your wonderful program on WWCR this morning. Thanks for your teaching. Bless you for being on the air. Sincerely, Mark from Annandale, Virginia.
Right. We're on a lot of AM stations and throughout the world. Everywhere in the world you can pick us up on shortwave. And if you need a, you got one more letter, haven't you? Is it a shorty or a long?
It's longer.
Long?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we want to get some testimony in here. All right, so go ahead and read my testimony then.
Okay.
This is a piece of this work, Christian work, would never have been done if it wasn't for God giving me this testimony here. I didn't believe in God or Jesus, and you'll hear that right now. It's called Dry Bones, and you can have a copy of it or hundreds of copies to distribute it if you like. This happened around 42 years ago. And I'm so happy that it is, because it isn't any good thing that I've ever done. But it's the will of God to have called me to get the gospel throughout the world. And Susie and the friends of ours, Bill from the Washington Star, and people all over the world attribute the Jesus movement to Susie and myself. Okay. Go ahead. But Susie never did a worldwide work until I was saved. And she was saved 25 years before me. But when I had so much fear of the Lord when he revealed himself to me in an office in Beverly Hills. It just, I couldn't stop telling people about Jesus, and I can't stop to this very day. The only way that I'll stop is when I drop dead or somebody kills me. And the only one that I know of that would want to kill me would be Vaticanites or people that are sympathetic to the Vatican, Roman Catholicism, or anyone that has joined with them. Okay, now go ahead, let's read my Dry Bones by Tony Alamo. Actually, it's by the Lord God Almighty.
The Old Testament prophet Ezekiel was sent a vision from God. He saw a valley of dry bones representing the spiritual deadness of Israel and the world. The vision foretold the first coming of Christ, his preaching of the gospel, and the result, the first resurrection from death unto eternal life for all those who believe the word of the Lord. God said to Ezekiel, Son of man, can these bones live? Can those spiritually dead ones live? Ezekiel said, Lord, thou who hast made them dost know. God spoke again to the prophet, saying, Prophesy concerning these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God to these dry bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. Israel knew it was completely gone as a nation. To this day they are hopelessly divided. But God told Ezekiel that he would raise up another nation greater than the first Israel, which would not stop sinning. The second Israel would be a people from every nation in the world, a remnant of elect Jews and a multitude of Gentiles grafted into the true vine, Christ. It would be a great holy nation to those raised from the dead life of sin unto life eternal. They would never be divided against God. This was the first resurrection through the resurrection power of Christ. In 1964, before my first resurrection through Christ, I, Bernie Hoffman, also known as Tony Alamo, was well known for sinning and ungodliness and was totally void of any knowledge of God. I had no idea that God existed. The words of God were to me fables and myths, and I couldn't understand how people could believe in God or his Son. I couldn't believe the ones who said they believed in God because they were hypocrites. They sinned as much as or more than me. I know because I used to run around with them. We were all a bunch of dead, dry bones. I would become angry if anyone tried to convert me to Christianity because to me the Bible was a waste of time. The life I lived gave me no time for games or fairy tales. In the marketing industry, I was considered number one. I was responsible for the successful careers of many world-famous singers and actors, as well as the successful promotions of several well-known household products. My worst nightmare then was one that had me converted and distributing gospel leaflets about Jesus on street corners, living at some Skid Row mission, preaching the gospel and organizing food lines to feed hungry people. In the mid-60s, the world wasn't looking so good to me. I didn't like drugs or dirty people with the morals of swine, and I hated what the hippie movement was doing to Hollywood, the Sunset Strip, and the world. As for myself, I was no saint. I didn't really care what people did as far as sinning, as long as they didn't flaunt it in front of families with children. To me, the world was finished, dead, dry, obnoxious, and bleak. Nothing really had any value anymore. I believe the other people of the world knew it as well as I did and took drugs to try to escape the reality of it. The churches were hypocritical. Everyone seemed to know that as well. The whole world was dead in its sins and trespasses. The world was an enormous valley of dry bones, just like the ones Ezekiel saw. I met Jesus in a Beverly Hills office in a very supernatural way. No one can possibly imagine how terrified and yet how happy I was when God proved to me that He and His Son really did exist. I was thrilled to experience His awesome Holy Spirit and hear His powerful voice sweep through every part of my body as though I were a filter that the words went through both forward and backward. His presence was glorious and warming. His Spirit pressed heavily upon me like the mighty grip of the hand of God, and His words told me to, quote, "Stand up on your feet and tell the people in this room about the Lord Jesus Christ and that He's coming back to earth again, or thou shalt surely die." When His Spirit came into the office and pressed down upon me, I was given the awareness of His unspeakable, incredible intelligence. He was every atom and molecule. He was the air. He knew everything from the past and everything that would happen in the future. I was embarrassed because I knew He knew everything I had ever done. Then He showed me that heaven and hell definitely exist. I knew which one I would be going to if I didn't do what He said, and it was in heaven. Although it was terrifying to me, it was also wonderful to know that God was real and alive and everything the prophets and apostles said He was. He hasn't changed at all from the days that He created the heavens, the earth, and all that in them is. I knew immediately that I would always fear, admire, respect, love, and serve Him. I knew I would be more than willing to live, be persecuted, and die for Him, and do it cheerfully with all joy. After God released me from that office, I started asking Him, "What do you want me to do? I'll do anything you say." I got no answer, so I figured He wanted me to go to church. I figured the biggest was the best, so I went there, and I didn't find Him. Then I went to other churches, but He wasn't there either. Then I read books and pictures with the covers of guys that looked wise and godly with long beards and religious clothing, but I knew the books were wrong because they said that God was not to be feared, that God doesn't threaten people, and that you could sin without going to hell. I wasn't worried about a God like that. I worried about finding the God that threatened me, the God that showed me heaven and hell, making me do something no one else could make me do, something I never wanted to do. I never thought the truth could be found in the Bible because there were so many of them around. I felt that anything the general public went for couldn't be smart, since I believed people were all stupid. I finally started reading the Bible and found the plan of salvation in it and the instructions for eternal life, which told me how to grow up in Christ and spiritually become a major soul winner for Him. When I first started reading the Bible, I felt that same power of God pressing down upon me that I felt in that Beverly Hills office. Then God showed me other visions of heaven and hell. I cried out to God, "Lord, don't send me to hell." Then I saw heaven and felt the peace of heaven. Although I was spiritually blind, naked, and small, I told God I would be willing to remain blind, naked, and insignificant if I could just feel this heavenly peace forever. I saw hell once more and cried out again to God for mercy and pardon. Then the power of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit entered my mortal body. By my faith in Jesus and the blood He gave for me, and by my faith in the words of God, which I heard and obeyed, I felt every sin I'd ever committed lift off my soul. I felt clean and pure. Something very wonderful had happened to me. It was done to and for me by Jesus Christ, the Holy One of Israel. I was so happy to be free from sin and to possess this new power which kept me from sinning that I wanted to tell the whole world so they also would know Him and have eternal life. Even after more than 42 years in the ministry for Christ, I feel the spiritual marrow being poured down from heaven into these once very dry bones every time I read the Bible. God's word has put spiritual sinew around these once dry bones, covering them with the flesh and skin of spiritual armor. Each word of God has grafted Christ more into my heart. I can still feel each word of God breathing Holy Spirit breath into my soul, giving me the power to stand and quench all the fiery darts Satan has fired at me through the years. I know more fully each day that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, and we are complete in Him. And I also know how very important it is to follow every word of Jesus, who said moments before His ascension into heaven in a cloud, quote, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature," unquote. Preach to every dry bone, those who are spiritually dead, so they may hear the word of the Lord. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. If you're like me and would rather not be damned, but instead be saved, then say this prayer to God.
So just repeat after me. My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that He died on the cross and shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, Lord Jesus, and I invite You into my heart. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know, because Your word says so. Your word says that anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Therefore, I'm calling on You, Lord, and therefore I know You've heard me, and I know You've answered me, and I know I'm saved. Now just, you know, we're supposed to worship the Lord, so this is the greatest thing that ever happened to you in your life. Just praise and thank the Lord. Don't let any bitterness get into your heart about anything or anybody, anything that anybody does. Just because when you lose your joy is when you sin. Yeah, once you sin, you lose your joy because you cannot reach the throne of the Lord anymore. There's no way that you can get to Him because sin separates us from the Lord. And so just thank and praise the Lord that the sins that you've committed in your life before are now washed away in the blood of Jesus, and they're drowned in the sea of God's forgetfulness. So just keep praising and thanking the Lord. And read the Word of God so that you can understand the Lord better. And let the Lord have His own way in you. Because if you don't, then you're going to separate yourself from the Lord. And if you're separated, you won't have joy anymore. The joyful thing about being born again of the Spirit is that, and that being clean from sin, is that we can boldly go to the throne of the Lord and communicate with Him, and He can communicate with us. And so let's play, this is a song that I did. It's called "Have Thine Own Way, Lord," and let Him have His own way, or else you'll be separated from Him. Because if we're not obeying the Lord, then we're sinning. So obedience to the Lord is the most important thing. Go ahead. Mold me and make me
whiter than snow.
Another song that I did with J.D. Sumner and the Stamps. It is I, John.
Well, and I, John, saw my number way up in the middle of the year. Well, I, John, saw my number moving way. Three gates in the north, three gates in the south, and that made 12 gates to the city, 4 square wide. Hallelujah, come by you, will I count somebody number? Well, in the middle of the year, will I count somebody number? Well, his eyes flashed by like burning the sun. Oh, John was scared and he wanted to run. Well, I wanted to run, but his feet wouldn't go. Well, he felt the dust of gun like a two-edged sword. Well, he heard a voice, he said, John, take a look. Read what you see, and lay right above. He saw 12 angels in the east. 12 angels in the west. 12 angels in the north, 12 angels in the south, 48 angels in the city, 4 square wide. Hallelujah, somebody knows it, I tell somebody knows. Way up in the middle of the air, I tell somebody knows. Way in the middle of the air.
All right, praise the Lord. Yeah, that's regarding the book of Revelation. And we have another one on the same album with J.D. Sumner and the Stamps and myself called Run On. You can run on for a long time, but the Lord's going to, he sees it.
My head's been wet with the midnight dew. I've been down on my bended knee, talking to the man from Galilee. My God spoke, and he spoke so sweet. I thought I heard the shuffle of an angel's feet. Put one hand upon my head. Great God Almighty, let me tell you what he said. Go tell that long tongue liar. Go tell that midnight rider. Tell the gambler, the rambler, that fighter. Tell him God Almighty, so we'll call him down. You may run on. Hide your hand, flopping in the dark against your fellow man. But sure as God made the day and the night, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You may run and hide, slip and slide, talk about the mold in your brother's eye. But sure as God made the rich and the poor, you're gonna reap it just what you sow. You may run on for a long time.
Run on for a long time.
Run on for a long time. Let me tell you, God Almighty's gonna cut you down. Go tell that long time. Go tell that midnight rider. Tell the gambler, the rambler, the backbiter. Tell him God Almighty's gonna cut him down. Some people go to church just to signify, trying to make a date with the neighbor's wife. But brother, let me tell you, just as sure as you're born, you better leave that woman alone. Because one of these days, you mark my word, you'll think that brother has gone to work. You'll sneak up and knock on the door. That's old brother, you'll knock no more. You may run on for a long time.
Run on for a long time.
Run on for a long time. Let me tell you, God Almighty's gonna cut you down.
Go tell that long tongue liar. Go tell that midnight rider. Tell the gambler, the rambler, the backbiter. Tell the God Almighty's gonna cut him down.
Praise the Lord. I'm playing a lot of music here because of the fact that this testimony of mine is short and sweet, and it's true. And we still have a few minutes here, so I'm going to have Sharon come forward and read some things from the Bible. Okay, go ahead, where we left off.
But though we or an angel from heaven
preach... Okay, what verse is that?
This is verse 8 of Galatians chapter 1.
Okay, go up to verse 1.
Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father.
Now, everybody says that the apostle Paul and I have similar testimonies. You heard where, on my testimony here that I didn't know the Lord. I didn't want to have anything to do with being... I used to see people out on the street in New York City. During the winter, I know now they were... They were people that were passing out tracts and things like that, and I thought, how deceived can they be? It's just unreal how people would give their lives up. I'd be driving by in a real nice car and going to nightclubs and what I thought was having a real great time. And I thought that would be my worst nightmare, is to have something happen to me where I'd begin to be like them, that something would go wrong in my brain and I'd be going in and out of these basement areas to and bringing people in and running a soup line or something like that. And I thought, it's so comfortable, the kind of life I have. I was in the record industry, and I had the biggest record probably in the United States is 20 original hits, and I had several of those records. And And so when that thing happened to me, it just floored me. And I never thought of those people as being stupid again because I realized that I was the stupid one. And I said, thank and praise the Lord that he pulled me out of that lifestyle. A lot of, and we went for years without any finances. And, when you try to do help other people, they think that you're doing it so that they'll kneel down and pray. I remember when Sue and I was witnessing to a bunch of dope fiends, hippies. They were selling narcotics and drugs, and everyone in this house that they were all living in, they got saved. And they all flushed their drugs down the toilet. And that was the actual beginning of our church. That was our first church, was a narcotic dope den that everyone got saved in. And we got every one of them to go out on the streets with us in the mid-60s. And this started the Jesus movement throughout the entire world. And we've been going strong ever since. My wife Susie passed away in 82. April 8th, 82. It's been almost 25 years this next April. And the Bible says that there's no condemnation to those that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, God has told a lot of us to do things that would just ordinarily in today's culture seem like it's crazy. But nevertheless, it's scriptural, and people either have to believe in the things that the beast, the one world government run by Rome, is telling them, and the media is telling them, or you have to believe in the gospel. There's no gain in believing what the Antichrist says, but there's great gain in believing in the Lord. He says, if you believe in me, then do what I tell you to do. So a lot of people condemn people for doing what the Lord told them to do. So, but I don't. You never know what the Lord tells different people. Now, we have a few more scriptures here to start reading.
Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you, and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel.
Now, the grace means power. By grace and truth came with Jesus, power and truth to keep the commandments. Then what?
Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach...
Right, there's a lot of people today perverting the gospel of Christ. And they're teaching that, it's okay to sin. Don't believe them. In order for you to prove that they're lying and that we're telling you the truth, you have to read the Bible. There's no other way that you can know. Okay, then go ahead.
But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men?
Are we going to please the world Antichrist government, or are we going to not try to please God, but please God? Then what?
For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Right, that's how I got saved. And that's how the Apostle Paul got saved. He saw the bright light, and the Lord spoke to me right into my spirit. He spoke deep down into my spirit. And it was very clear, the things he was saying. Then what?
For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it.
And I didn't care anything about it. I didn't believe in God or Jesus. Then what?
and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation.
And I profited in the world. After that happened to me, I didn't care about profit at all. No more. And I gave up everything I had to the point to where I just gave away everything that I had. Then what? And I've never been sorry for it. I've never regretted one thing that I've had to go through for the gospel. Then what?
And profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days.
Okay, well, see, that's what happened to me. I didn't have to go through that 17-year period of just communicating with God myself, because I've had some visions that would have led me astray. There's two forces that give visions. One is the Lord. Then you have to be very careful, especially when you're first saved, and also even when you're saved for years, is the Bible says that Satan's power would be so deceivable in the last days that it could actually deceive the very elect. And so if the Lord is telling you to do anything that is not confirmed or approved by the Scriptures, then you know that it's the devil. But if it's approved by the Lord, then you know that it's the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And so when things are absolutely against your nature, but you see in the Word of God after searching the Scriptures for years that it's of the Lord, then you know that it's not murdering anybody, it's not being a homosexual, it's not being a lesbian or a fornicator or an adulterer. It is of the Lord. It's been condoned by all the way through the Bible. Nothing is against it. So, again, we prayed, we had the sinner's prayer a while ago in this message, right after my testimony. And so I'm going to do it again right now. I'm going to give you another opportunity to ask the Lord to enter your heart. So just repeat after me. Say to God with all your heart and soul, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me, my former sins. I know that you'll not turn me away, because you said all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands and praise the Lord. And here's Sharon to tell you four different ways that you can receive a copy of this CD or tape.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right, now here's Susie Alamo with the Stamps Quartet to sing "The Robe of Calvary." Tune in tomorrow. Make sure we have another beautiful message from the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord. It's called "The Robe of Calvary."
Yes, kings wear robes of gold and velvet,
Oh, but soon their glory fades away. But the King of Kings in heaven, he wore a homespun robe that day. The soldiers gambled for his garment, while the sun turned dark above. But the men, yes, the same men who crucified him, were forgiven by his love. Those who saw his robe knew torment if they lived by sin and shame. But if they, yes, even they, renounced their evil, they too were welcomed by the Lord. His robe was woven by his mother. Blessed faith in every thread. The Christ who wore it lives forever. My Lord and my God, he has risen from the dead.
Yeah.